So, as his forces wage war in Ukraine, President Vladimir Putin has been leading Victory Day commemorations in Moscow. Thousands of soldiers have been marching through Red Square on the day the nation celebrates the surrender of Nazi Germany to Soviet troops in 1945. You can see the Russian president there alongside one of his Russian generals. In Red Square, as the commemorations go on, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, saying that Russia's war is repeating the horrors of the past. But President Putin told the crowd in Red Square that his troops are fighting for what he calls the security of their homeland.
В эти дни вы сражаетесь за наших людей на Донбассе.
You're fighting for our people in Donbass, for the safety of our motherland, Russia. May 9, 1945 will forever be perpetuated as a triumph of our one single Soviet people, of its cohesion and spiritual might and perilous exploits, both at the front line and at the home front. The victory day is close and sacred to each one of us.
Well, Hoda Abdelhamid is standing by for us in Kyiv, but first let's go to our correspondent, Dorsa Jabari, who's in Moscow. And Dorsa, we were listening to President Putin speaking, and interesting perhaps more because of what he didn't talk about.
Certainly, Nick. I think there was a lot of expectations here about what the Russian president would say and whether or not he would talk about what the people of Russia can expect in the coming days and weeks ahead. But Vladimir Putin seemingly keeping his speech very short. And within a minute into that speech, he talked about the justifications for the decision that he made to send in Russian troops into Ukraine on February 24th. I think it's important that he did link what is happening now in Ukraine and what has happened between Russia and NATO, as well as the other Western countries, to what he believes to have happened during World War II. He says that they're fighting for their security and that they believe that they were under threat. He even went so far as to say that he believed that Crimea, which Russia annexed in 2014, was about to be attacked by NATO forces, and that is why they decided to take the action that they did. He said that every life that has been lost in Ukraine is a sad loss for the country. And he also said that the families of the victims of the Russian soldiers that have died in battle in Ukraine will be looked after by the state. He also talked about how what he did decide to do was a preemptive rebuff. He said that, again, he believed that it was the right decision to do for Russia. And this is certainly a very significant day in this country. It's not only a victory, but it's also something that is very much part of the culture, because Russia, of course, lost nearly 27 million people during World War II, and there is not many Russians you will find or speak to that haven't had a personal connection. Many people have lost family members during World War II, and of course, Vladimir Putin is one of them. And he did say that to the soldiers in Red Square, he said, you are fighting for the same things that your grandfathers were fighting for. So certainly, invoking very important, powerful imagery within Russian society. But what was missing clearly was what is coming up and what happens next. That is certainly not clear. We've also been seeing footage from Sevastopol, that is in Crimea, of Victory Day parade that is ongoing there as well. And this is something, of course, that is going to carry out throughout the day and across Russia in all the cities in this country.
What is the Kremlin view of progress that has been made or otherwise during the 2 months and more of this so-called special operation?
Well, according to the Russian Defense Ministry, and we just saw the Russian Defense Minister alongside Vladimir Putin in Red Square, walking with him and speaking to the Russian president. According to the Defense Ministry, they are on track and they are achieving their goals. Now, the first phase of this so-called special military operation ended at the end of March, and now they're into the second phase, which is their focus on securing areas in eastern and southern Ukraine. And we also heard from Vladimir Putin saying that the soldiers, some of them have now just returned from the battlefield in Donbass to take part in this parade in Red Square. There is a sense that, of course, this is now day 75 of this military operation, and it continues continues, but there's no clear outline about what they are hoping to achieve in the weeks ahead. Certainly, according to Vladimir Putin and his officials, they are on track and they will achieve all the goals that they set out to do. But what happens after that is not clear, and how long this will take is very uncertain at this time. But it is important that Vladimir Putin has the support of the Russian population, and this day is just about that, to rally support behind this cause. And it's very clear that the narrative coming from the officials here, not just today, but over the past few weeks since February, has been to try and link this country's past with what is happening in the present to get as much support as possible. On February 24th, when Vladimir Putin announced that Russian soldiers would be entering Ukraine, state TV started broadcasting immediately images from the war during World War II, as well as movies that were shown at that time. So there is a sense that this day is part of the larger narrative that is unfolding in Ukraine.
All right, Dulce, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thanks very much indeed. Dulce Jabari there reporting from Moscow as we watch the scene in Red Square, President Vladimir Putin walking with his military top brass on the 77th anniversary of the Soviet Union's victory over Nazi Germany. Obviously, the backdrop to this is the so-called special operation that's ongoing in Ukraine that's been happening for more than 2 months now. Let's cross to Ukraine, to the capital, Kyiv. Hoda Abdulhamid is live for us there. And Hoda, we've just been listening to an excerpt of President Putin and what he had to say. His words will have been carefully scrutinized there in Ukraine. What will have been the view?
Well, certainly I can imagine that everybody from President Zelensky to the chief of staff will be watching, would have listened very carefully. Now, there was all sorts of rumors swirling, really, in the days leading to today, all sorts of speculations about what could President Putin say during that speech. And I think it fell off the expectations. There was talk that he might declare an all-out war on Ukraine. What we saw there from a Ukrainian point of view is certainly a very reserved President Putin. He did start his speech. I did feel that it was reminding us of what he said before the war when he declared this special operation in Ukraine. But, you know, at a certain point, he is reminding the Russian people about why Victory Day is so important in their history. But now there's a war unfolding here in Ukraine, and there is no sign of victory. Yes, the Russians at the end of the day could outgun and outnumber the... there you see the air siren going on. So the war is still ongoing, and certainly he hasn't won over the hearts and minds of the people he said he was going to protect, in the name of which this war started. This is our report. The real toll of this war for Russia. Unclaimed body bags stacked in refrigerated trains. Soldiers dead on the front line as Russia claims to rescue the Russian-speaking population living here. Ukraine says about 25,000 have lost their lives so far, but Russia puts that number at about 1,300. We were given rare access to the bodies left behind as Russia retreated from the Kyiv region. He was an elite paratrooper. This jewelry was found on him, allegedly stolen from Ukrainian civilians.
Ukraine treats the dead enemies better than how they treated civilians. They will be kept as long as need be. The government will decide because Russia refuses to take them. It doesn't want them. Each body is a proof of a war crime. So if they refuse to take them, Ukraine will bury them at our own cost.
The war is in its third month, but so far Moscow has no clear victory to show for it. Even in predominantly Russian-speaking Mariupol, where it did enjoy some popular support in the past. Now Yevgeny Sosnovsky says those voices are gone. He just came out of the port city 2 days ago.
I was cycling past the destroyed theater building. I noticed that they were clearing the main avenue and the central square. Perhaps they were preparing for this so-called victory parade. But I also could still see the blue and yellow of the Ukrainian flag. And vendors are refusing to sell goods in ruble. only Ukrainian currency.
Yevgeny has documented life under occupation as much as he could without getting detected by soldiers. Hardly the image of a liberated people the Kremlin want to portray. After failing to take Kyiv, Russia has concentrated its air power on destroying Ukraine's infrastructure in what it calls a special military operation. But so far, more than 3,000 civilians have lost their lives, and the human cost for both sides is rising by the day. Olga is among the millions displaced by the conflict. She's also just made it to safety with her two young children and mother.
Before their arrival, life was good. We had a beautiful city, parks, everyone had life plans. Work, freedom of choice of language, freedom of movement, freedom of thought. We lived freely. Then Russia came to rescue us. They liberated us from our houses, our jobs, some of their lives, some of their legs or arms. That's the liberation.
Olga has now switched to the Ukrainian language with her children. While Russia celebrates its victory against Nazi Germany at the end of World War II, it is now embattled in a war that didn't go as expected.
It's a fascinating report, Hoda. It's interesting, isn't it, this kind of tragic irony that both Ukrainian and Russian soldiers fought alongside each other in the war that Victory Day commemorates.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, you hear that, more, especially when you speak to elderly people who also have, family history when it comes to World War II. They are quite flabbergasted, especially in the east of the country where you heard that generation kind of always defending Russia. They were accused of being pro-Russian even until the eve of when the war started. Well, that has changed. Maybe the pro-Russian voices are silent at the moment because of the overwhelming anger among Ukrainians. But I think one of the main points, that came out of this war is this new solidarity among Ukrainians, whether in the west or the east of the country, that was maybe lacking in the days leading to the war. So when it comes to hearts and minds, I would say that at the moment, Russia is on losing ground. Now, also militarily, there is no clear victory so far. The Ukrainian forces, the Azov regiment that is holed up in that steelworks, is still holding up a fight, even though on their last legs, according to them. And then everywhere else, wherever Russia arrives, this war that's unfolding in the east or in the south of the country, wherever Russia arrives, it arrives after a considerable amount of destruction. People losing their homes, people losing their villages, schools attacked, all sorts of targets being hit. So all of that is coming at a huge cost for Russia, which is also losing its own people on the battlefield. And according to the Ukrainians, about 25,000 soldiers. Russian puts that number much lower, around 13 to 1,500. But it's certainly a huge cost. And at the moment, when you're here on the ground, you can't see where it's going to end. Russia wants to take territory, wants to impose its own people on that territory, but it will come at an extremely high cost for both countries.
Hoda, thanks very much indeed for that. Hoda Abdelhamid reporting there from Kyiv in Ukraine. While we look at pictures from Moscow, where we've been following the 77th anniversary of the Soviet Union's victory over Nazi Germany, Victory Day being commemorated. We've watched Vladimir Putin and heard from Vladimir Putin too, and just seen him at the Alexander Garden of the Kremlin, commemorating fallen soldiers, laying a wreath down at the unknown soldier's grave there. Let's bring in Sergei Markov, who is also in Moscow, director of the Institute of Political Studies there and a former public spokesman for President Putin, joins us now from Moscow. Welcome to the show, Sergei Markov. It was interesting listening, wasn't it, to Vladimir Putin speaking, because he laid out his reasoning for the special operation, but he didn't throw it forward at all. No mention of, you know, what the objectives are and where this might all end.
Yes, of course, the main topic of this speech of Vladimir Putin, which has been very much expected from our audience, has been devoted to the special military operation on the densification of Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin didn't claim mobilization, and Vladimir Putin didn't claim any situation of war against Ukraine, which some of the experts and politicians expected. And same time, main thesis of Vladimir Putin that this war had been inevitable because United States and NATO, which is regarded as main Russian enemies now, they are fully denied Russian concern about security, and they created a very military, brutal, and aggressive regime on the Ukrainian territory, which consists of all include neo-Nazis and bande rights. This was, by the way, is just new words in English language.
Well, why do you think the president didn't throw this forward, sort of lay out more about the objectives of Russia and Ukraine? Is it because he would find it hard to explain to Russians why they actually need to go to fight and die in a war that Russia is allegedly winning?
It's not so. First of all, Vladimir Putin is a former secret agent of Russian intelligence service, Soviet intelligence service, KGB, and he doing politics, main decision in his politics in the style of special operation, keeping all goals as secret. And according to the ancient Chinese theory of war, if your enemy doesn't know what is your real goals, aims, it's your part of your benefits. So right. It's mostly important.
Okay. Mr. Putin said, as you've just been talking about, that Russia's hand was forced by the posturing and the threatening behaviour of the West. But in fact, isn't it the case that this so-called special operation has coalesced the EU, it's coalesced NATO and the United States, and indeed NATO now looks set to expand rather than contract because of this? It's actually had the opposite effect.
In Russia, it's Vladimir Putin, we regard that Ukrainian army doesn't exist as army of Ukrainian people, and Ukrainian people doesn't exist on President Vladimir Zelensky, because he is just puppet on the head of the United States and Great Britain. And same time, Ukrainian army fully devoted to the American and British military advices and political advices. So it's proxy army of the United States and Great Britain and NATO. It's not Ukrainian army, in fact.
You said on March the 3rd that this war will end, on March 3rd, so 2 months ago, more than 2 months ago, this war will end after Russia liberates two-thirds of Ukrainian territory from the neo-Nazi repressive regime and a new government will be formed. That was March the 3rd, your words. It hasn't gone the way you anticipated 2 months ago, has it?
It's absolutely clear that first Russian strategy has been not successful. Russian strategy was to come to the biggest cities, Kyiv and Kharkov, and then, expectedly, Ukrainian authorities will leave those cities and will be vacuum of power will be taken by a pro-Russian politician, but it's not appeared to be. Also, Ukrainian army appeared to be, which is proxy army of the United States, much more strong than Russian analysis expected. So this war appeared to be much more difficult and bloody than we expected. Now we expected that this will be a battle for Donbass will continue probably to the until the middle of summer, and then based on the result of this battle on Donbass, new political decisions will be made. But now those predictions, which is reflected the plans of Russian authorities, which I get, appear to be not valid. Okay. Now we should think about new analysis of what is will happening. All right. I'm honest analyst. So, if I'm wrong,
Sergei Markov, we'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry, we've just run out of time. Do appreciate your perspective on this. Thank you very much indeed for joining us here on Al Jazeera. Thank you.